Now, gay conversion therapies, which try to, in inverted commas, cure people's sexuality, will be banned as part of the government's LGBT action plan. The plan is an attempt to tackle the inequalities faced by members of the LGBT community. I want to speak to Gavin Boyd, who is a spokesperson from the Rainbow Project, and he's the Education and Equality Officer with a group that represents members of the LGBT community. Gavin, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
Gavin, just explain to us where it is available, a conversion therapy, and what sort of people would be going forward to avail of the therapy that is available.
Well, Frank, thankfully, because of campaign that's been done by the Rainbow Project and with the mental health and therapeutic organisations that we have worked with over the past 8 years, there are very few places that you can access this kind of conversion reparative therapy in Northern Ireland. It's usually now done by independent so-called therapists or professionals. But the problem is, Frank, that they're not attached to any clinical governance body. There's no one overseeing their work. There's no one who can provide them with an ethical framework that allows them to do their practice. So the practice as it exists today in Northern Ireland is pure quackery, and it's really dangerous because the people who are accessing it are those most marginalised and most vulnerable, the people who have the toughest time coming to terms with their sexual orientation or gender identity, and they need to be supported and protected through actual therapies that are designed to increase their positive mental health, not some kind of snake oil merchant that's going to try and convince them that there's something about themselves that needs to be cured, because there isn't and it cannot work.
Having said that, however, Gavin, and you are a great believer in people's rights, and for example, if someone feels they are female but they're living in a male body, you would be fully supportive of the transition. So if someone is living their life as a gay person but who wants to be straight, are they not by right entitled to seek out a therapy that may help them on the journey?
Well, there's a fundamental misconception at the heart of this, Frank, because that kind of therapy would have to insist it only exists because of homophobia. It only exists because of the notion that there's something inherently wrong or problematic with being gay. But for homophobic bias, but for that idea that there's something wrong with being gay, no, none of that therapy would need to exist, because there would be no one who would feel that they need to access it. If we challenge homophobia in society, if we eradicate homophobia from our communities, from our schools, from our families, then that desire wouldn't exist. It's entirely different from transition, which is an evidenced medical need that people have. Therapy for changing sexual orientation is pure quackery, and that's why there's no reputable body that will stand over it. That's why there's no research that says that it works. All the research says that those vulnerable people who are preyed on by these quacks, that it actually hurts their mental health, that it actually increases their risk of suicide, that it actually increases their risk of being cut off from their family, it increases their risk of drug and alcohol abuse. So if it worked, absolutely, sure, why wouldn't it be a problem? But why can't they evidence it, Frank? Why is there no study that says actually this works and actually it's beneficial to people? Why do all the studies, every single one, say that not only does this not work and that it cannot work, but that it harms each and every single person that accesses it?
Some people do feel they are committing a sin. They feel that they are going against their church's teaching. They're going against the Bible. They do believe that they are expressing love to someone of the same sex, but by doing that, they are committing a sin, and they want to stop doing that. But they still want to have sexual experience. They still want to be in love with another person. So they're seeking out the solace of opposite attraction as opposed to same-sex attraction.
Well, I mean, I just don't accept that as an argument, Frank. The only reason why someone would feel, again, that there's something inherently wrong with who they are is because of their own or their interpretation of the Bible, or their particular minister or priest's interpretation of the Bible. What I would say is, if your faith is causing you to struggle with your sexual orientation, there are plenty of other churches around there that are able to provide Christian teaching with affirming LGBT people as well. And I would look to churches like All Souls Church and Elmwood Avenue that would say that it's entirely wrong to say that to be a Christian, you must be against being gay. And it also flies in the face, I just have to repeat it again, of every single piece of evidence that says when you try to suppress your sexual orientation, when you try to change your sexual orientation, when you look at your sexual orientation as being something that is broken, wrong, or harmful about who you are, that is bad for your mental health. And instead of trying to change it, instead of going along with those homophobic biases which exist around us in society, what LGBT people need to do when they're experiencing that type of distress is to access proper ethical counselling interventions, because it allows them to integrate their sexual orientation or their gender into the rest of who they are. You don't need to choose between being a Christian and being an LGBT person. Those two things can exist very comfortably within the same person, but we need to have a therapy that actually reduces homophobic feelings, not increases them.
And what do you say to people, and they contact this programme all the time, who argue that a considerable number of the gay community, they decide to be gay, they choose to be gay, as opposed to being born gay?
Well, I would say that those people are usually homophobes. And again, they're coming from a place that says that being gay is something inherently wrong. Why would anyone choose to be gay? Why would anyone make that choice? More than half of LGBT young people in schools in Northern Ireland do not feel safe in school. Are they making a choice because of that? More than two-thirds of them say that being in school has a negative impact on their mental health. Are they choosing that? More than half of LGBT people have difficult relationships with their families, with their parents, their mothers and fathers because of their sexual orientation. Are they actively choosing this? Most people aren't out in their jobs. Most people aren't out to their colleagues. Most people aren't out to their line managers. Is this a choice that they're making? No, it is not. It is because of bias and prejudice, which has been ingrained throughout our education system since day dot, and people learn to think of themselves as being wrong. If we challenge that, if we challenge the education system, if we make coming to a realization of your sexual orientation or gender not a scary thing, but actually just a part of learning about who you are, then there would be no need for anyone to consider that there's something about themselves that needs to be wrong or changed. No one chooses their sexual orientation. It's entirely a passive experience. And I would suggest anyone who thinks that people choose their sexual orientation should actually try and live a life of an LGBT person and see if that's a choice that they would make for themselves.
And there are some who argue that we're all born bisexual, but we are, I suppose, brought up in a way, society, our mindset, our influences are very much focused on being male or female and heterosexual. So therefore, we are not going to express or experiment any interest in any other form of sexual activity, because that's the way we've been nurtured down through many thousands and thousands of years. Is there any argument in that naturally everyone is bisexual?
No, not really. I mean, people have their own experiences of sexual orientation. What I can tell you is that our society does condition people to suppress any kind of attraction for members of the same gender. And so, yes, there are plenty of people who are bisexual who would never outwardly admit to being bisexual or know how to process those feelings. And that's usually down to things like societal conditioning. But there's no evidence to suggest that every single one of the 7 billion people that are walking around this world are bisexual.
So in the meantime, those who are gay are still feeling disadvantaged, and you're in favour of this government action plan, which is going to ban those who would be carrying out the gay conversion therapies.
Well, it's not that LGBT people feel that they're disadvantaged. They are disadvantaged. LGBT people in this part of the world can't marry the person that they love. LGBT people in this part of the world still do not see themselves represented in the school curriculum. So, yes, there are very clearly evidence disadvantages that LGBT people experience, and we're glad that government is taking steps to reduce these. And absolutely banning this quackery is an important step along creating a society that's welcoming for LGBT people. There is no way to do this therapy ethically. It cannot be done. Try and find any reputable mental health organization that will stand over it. And if they won't stand over it, if not a single one of those organizations around the world will stand up and say, yes, this is an ethical therapy that provides good mental health support to people, well, then maybe we actually need to accept that anyone who says that it works is wrong. And what we need to accept is that the people who have survived it, they're the experts, they're the people that know that this is not only harmful, but that it destroys lives.
And finally, you mentioned, Gavin, that the school curriculum there, how would you like to see that changed?
Well, the all schools have to meet the minimum standards of the statutory curriculum. We've been lobbying the Department of Education, the Council for Curriculum Examinations and Assessment, and the Education Authority to review the statutory curriculum. It hasn't been changed since 2007. We think the world's changed a lot in the past 11 years, and we want to see LGBT issues mainstreamed throughout the statutory curriculum. We want to see LGBT history taught. We want to see LGBT culture taught in English and art. We want to see relationship and sexuality education accessible to all young people, not just straight young people. We want to see a focus on human rights that's broader than just the Northern Ireland context of sectarianism. We want to look at the European movement towards LGBT civil rights. We want to look at different human rights issues from around the world. And we think that that actually creates good citizenship in young people, not only for LGBT people who learn to see themselves in their schools and in the curriculum, but for all young people who deserve to understand that the LGBT people in their families, in their sports teams, in their friends groups are not people that need to be hidden away and not talked about, but actually we all deserve to learn a little bit more about LGBT people.
Okay, Gavin, thank you very much indeed. Gavin Boyd from the Rainbow Project. He's the Education and Equality Officer. Shortly in the programme we'll be speaking to Mike Davidson, who's from the Core Issues Trust. Mike is a person who believes he has availed of the gay conversion therapy and has been cured from being gay. And I say cured in inverted commas because that is a very controversial term to use. 02890 333 105. 02890 333 105. Your opinions are welcome indeed in the sunshine here on U105. What a bright and beautiful morning it is. Right, 02890 333 105. Lots of you talking about Nuala the Hula. That's who it is, the lovely woman who holds the hoop. But John, I think, was telling me that the proper name for her is Hope. She is the sign of hope there. And that's where the roadworks are. That's how this conversation started. Loads of you saying Nuala the Hula. Thank you very much indeed. Rob Innards and Kathleen. Loads of other people as well. Big John, who's on the cameras, is also in touch with us. And so many of you talking about these LGBT issues. And you're talking about the conversation that I've just had here on the radio. Frank, that LGBT guy you had on seems very hypocritical. He wants all gay rights to be one way. Well, if he wants equality, then he must accept the bad along with the good. Life is not fair. He sounds like he needs wrapped up in cotton wool and bubble wrap to protect him from the big, bad, nasty place that we call the world. That's a bit harsh, if you don't mind me saying. He was very open in his debate and his conversation, and I think he was making some strong points about how ostracised, especially gay people of the generation before us must have felt, and gay people of today feel very marginalised, especially here in Northern Ireland. I thought he made his points eloquently. This one says, wow, Frank, how well did that fella speak? Great job. I have two boys, 16 and 12. They are not gay, but if they were, I would love them just the same. Why would anyone choose to be different? People are definitely born gay. Just my opinion. Well said, Gavin, says Tracy, who's in Antrim. Tracy, good morning to you. Frank, there are many reasons why people might not feel comfortable with an aspect of themselves and a healthy response to seek to deal with these feelings. So-called conversion therapies may not be the best approach for many, but in banning it outright, the government may be putting the vulnerable people at risk. It may put people off seeking help altogether. I don't agree with the type of conversion therapy that is portrayed by the media, which is traumatic and potentially harmful. But I can also accept the argument that people who are living with same-sex attraction and don't want to be gay simply don't exist. These people need as much compassion from the LGBT community as the LGBT community demands from the rest of society. The reason for people wanting to change may not always be religious either, as is being portrayed, says Andy, who's in Lisburn. So Andy believes that there are people who have same-sex attraction who want to get rid of that. They don't want it. They want to be heterosexual. Let me speak to, indeed, one of our callers who's got a point to make in relation to this. I think he's feeling that Gavin was hypocritical. Paul, good morning.
Good morning to you, Frank. Very good morning to you.
Yes, thanks for joining us. But Paul, so go ahead. What's your full point, please?
in today's society, and I think that the world that we live in, there's so many things, it seems, that people in an instant want to turn to the government for help, advice, or whatever that may be. I do not understand why many people like that just cannot seem to sort these things out themselves. It's very easy to proportion blame and always put it on to somebody else. The comments that the chap was making, my apologies, I forget his name.
This is Gavin Boyd, Gavin Boyd from the Rainbow Project. Gavin,
yeah, thank you. Yeah, you know, absolutely, some perfectly valid points. Yes, there is gay people that are ostracized, criticized, however, whatever. The show that you've had on a couple of weeks ago with regard to the whole church thing, it's like, how far do people want to take this? I have many friends in my life that are gay of both sides. I have had some that have told me, you know, that they were born gay, and these are people that I would, you know, fully trust and accept their views. I have people that would have said, you know, they actually don't want to use the term turned, but became gay. That was just the way they felt. I have, in my lifetime, yet to see some of the how would you like, the hurt or nastiness that people do put towards gays. I have, in all honesty, across many countries that have lived in, not seen this. But at the end of the day, we all live in the same world, and we must accept that there's good and bad. Surely you should not, with these conversion therapies, however that they would work or whatever they are, I wasn't actually too sure whether that was serious or not, but obviously, yes, it is. There may be people that want to go down that route. Surely that's their personal choice, no different to what the personal choice is of someone being gay.
So you believe that the conversion therapies should be available to people. They shouldn't be banned, even though Gavin Boyd describes them as quackery. He sees them as something that could give you a mental health difficulty. He sees it as a service that's really only taken up by the vulnerable. And you've suggested there that you don't see in countries where you've been a climate of anti-gay sentiment. You don't see discrimination against gay people. Are you sure? You know, are you living on the, if you don't mind me asking, Paul, on the same planet that I'm living on?
I do live in quite a nice part of South Belfast, but I do go travel in other areas. The conversion therapy, look, whether it's right or wrong, surely that should be somebody's choice.
Yeah, sure. I get that point. I totally get that point. But do you accept that gay people in many parts of the world are discriminated against?
I'm sure, like many people, many things, many societies, yes, they are discriminated against. I suffer with a long-term serious mental health issues myself. I have tried suicide on more than one occasion. Thankfully, it hasn't worked. But I could turn around and say in situations that I've been through that I've felt ostracized or pushed aside or different because of my mental health abilities or how I've been with that. But at the end of the day, as I would say still to other people, like, put on your big boy pants and get on with life.
Okay, you know, it's a stoic approach, and you've had your challenges, as you say, Paul. Isn't it always the recommended approach, I need to emphasise, for yourself or for other people to, as you say, put on the big boy pants and get on with life? You know, do seek advice, do seek help, whoever we are, whatever our challenge is. But far be it from me to advise you on how to lead your life, Paul, and that is very important as well. Really appreciate your input, Paul. Thank you. Thank you indeed.
No problem, Frank. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Mike Davison, I'm going to speak to Mike, who believes that he's availed of the conversion therapy. Good morning, Mike.
Hello there.
Mike, it is such a controversial issue, and these gay conversion therapies, which try to, in inverted commas, cure people's sexuality, will be banned as part of the government's LGBT action plan. Tell me your story, Mike.
Well, I offer therapeutic support for unwanted same-sex attractions, and part of the reason for doing that is because I was given professional help when I was in conflict in my marriage and needed to find some answers. I tried praying away gay. That didn't work. I tried all sorts of things, but eventually I came to the point where I needed some professional help, and I was given that. I was taken seriously. My goals and my aspirations were respected. I worked over a period of about 2 years with, I think, two different psychotherapists and one psychiatrist. They helped me. And today I can look back at a marriage that has been successful. And my wife and I together worked on our issues. And I think that it would be an absolute travesty to take that opportunity away from the present generation because of what the government is seeking to do in a kind of mandatory gay thing. If you have the feelings, well, that's it. You can't do anything about it. You just have to live it out. It's absolutely appalling that they have allowed themselves to get into this position.
Now, you were in a heterosexual relationship, obviously. You were married to your wife. It sounds like as if you were attracted to a male and you had some professional intervention that protected you from that adultery or whatever we wish to call it. But is that not professional intervention similar to any other heterosexual couple where an affair would loom and they would get some sort of marriage guidance or some sort of counselling to keep their marriage afloat, as opposed to you being cured from your attraction to another man?
Well, I think that's a very astute observation that you've made there, yes. And that is exactly the point, that you see, what is happening, there's a kind of circular narrative here. We are told we do gay conversion therapy, that it's abhorrent and it must come to an end. And we respond, we don't do conversion therapy. This is something that has been put on us. We're constantly told that we do something that we do not do. What do we do? We offer standard psychotherapeutic and counseling practice from different modalities and points of view, working with clients to work on their goals and their agendas. There is something operating here where the government, I am afraid to say, is pushing us in a direction that needs to be resisted.
Yes, but there's an important difference here. If someone comes forward to you looking for advice who is married, if a man comes forward to you who is married to a woman and his marriage is in difficulty because he's attracted to another man, I can see you having some professional input because you are helping to protect that marriage. The guy could easily come forward to you and have the conversation with you if he was attracted to another woman as well. I'd like to think that you would give him advice whereby their marriage might be protected if it is within the realms of being saved. But let's take the example of the 19-year-old boy who has been having sex with other 18 and 19-year-old boys for the best part of a year and thinks, he's obviously gay, but he wants to be heterosexual. If he comes to you and he's not in a relationship, he's just someone who's had experiences of being gay, would you try to change him?
Well, again, respectfully, when you say would I try to change, it's not about the therapist trying to change anybody. It's about the client's goals. And if that client comes and says they want to change, we have to look at that. We have to ask, first of all, why do you want to change? And if it's because there's a church breathing down their neck, or because there's a parent or a sibling or a friend that's putting them under pressure, then they're not there for their own goals. But if it genuinely is that they want to change, then I think that is a valid goal that we need to take seriously. We need to
point out the fact that not everybody can change. We have to look and see realistically what we can do. But, you know, your scenario, a 19-year-old boy who's been having sex with other males, and clearly he's not satisfied by it. It's apparently, by the sound of it, something that has become addictive. He doesn't understand, and he's not comfortable with it. The argument is that he has imbibed homophobia from the society, and this is where his conflict comes from. But I can tell you, many of these people don't buy it. It's their own values and their own goals that they worry about, and they want to do something about it.
So you refute,
and that's what needs to be protected.
So you refute any suggestion that you're dealing in quackery, or that you're adding to the homophobic impact that exists in this world?
How can I be homophobic? This is something that I have experienced. This is a reality that has been a part of my life. I think I understand many of these people, and I think that what I offer is valid because I am a person with lived experience. Now, I think what the government needs to be doing is not banning things, but regulating things. We were excluded from the Memorandum of Understanding. Norman Lamb, during the coalition government, refused to allow us to submit our evidence. So what is happening here is that only one ideological point of view is being represented in this whole scenario. If you want to do research, you won't get the money unless you support one ideological point of view. And if there's going to be such, you know, flagrant viewpoint discrimination, then we really shouldn't marvel at where we are today with this proposed ban. There are no checks and balances. And unless there is multiple ideological perspective that strips science of ideology, we just will never get to the truth. So things have to change here, but they won't change by, you know, mandatory gay. It's going to be our way and nobody else's way. Everybody will support gay, and there's nothing else to it. It's not going to work.
One final question to you, Mike. Do you believe it's wrong for two people of the same sex to have sex?
It's up to them, and I'm not going to make any pronouncement. Everybody has to be free to live life as they want to do it, but we may not discriminate against those who are unhappy with it and want to move away from it. The government's own lawyers in the Core Issues Trust versus Transport for London in 2014 case argued successfully, three judges supported them, that ex-gay is protected under the Equality Act of 2010. It's in the ruling. Anybody can Google it and find it. That's their lawyers. But you see, now they are actively discriminating against ex-gays, and that's what we are concerned to fight against.
Okay, Mike Davison from the Core Issues Trust, thank you very much indeed. Rights, as the old saying should go. Your opinions, 028 90 333 105. If Gavin Boyd gets his demands with regards to the school curriculum, will teachers and pupils who hold religious beliefs be able to opt out of having to teach or learn about LGBT history, etc., or will they be demonised, called homophobes, and be forced to teach or learn this? Asks the texter, who's called Pete. Pete, I was just thinking of what you're saying. You know, if I was a teacher and I was teaching World War II history, am I compromising myself if I'm a pacifist? You know, that's sort of what you're saying. Or if I teach about the farming industry, am I compromising myself if I'm a vegan? You know, if I teach about the Protestant Reformation, am I compromising myself if I'm a Jewish teacher? And, you know, if you teach about LGBT issues, indeed, are you compromising yourself as a Christian? You know, you're asking the question. I'm doing my best to answer it. But you do highlight the difficulty in this part of the world. And you highlight it very well by including, you know, would some children be withdrawn from class? You know, welcome to 2018 Northern Ireland. That's the reality. Joanne's got a point that she wants to make. Good morning, Joanne.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, Joanne. What's your opinion on these gay conversion therapies?
Well, I'm not gay, but I have a lot of friends who are, and I am very liberal, open-minded in that way. And everything that I have read or heard or anything else, most people who go in for gay conversion therapy are taken by someone else. I'm just recently reading a book about a guy who his parents were like Southern Baptist in America, and they made him go to this conversion therapy. I know another family that I personally know, and they took their son to it. I'm not quite sure that it's, as the last caller said, it's something that you choose to do yourself.
There are a considerable number of families, the length and breadth of this part of the world. If you get a, chance there, handy, Joanne, just turn your radio down because I think you're hearing a little echo on your radio. There are a considerable number of families across this country who would find it difficult if their child turned out to be gay. That's a fact. Now, it is a very, very sad fact. For a family to think that their child is not as good as some other child because of their sexual orientation must be heartbreaking. It must be heartbreaking to live in a family like that.
Absolutely. But my experience, but my understanding is that most times it's someone else who kind of makes an ultimatum where you go to this conversion therapy or, you know, we won't have anything to do with you anymore. And so the last caller said, it's a personal choice and you can't take that away from people. And if they choose to go in to be converted or cured or however you want to put it, I have never known anyone do that off their own bat.
Well, I've never known of anyone to do it. Full stop. I'm sure there are people who who make a decision to go and do something without being influenced by others. But there will be influences that they may not be aware of. One of the most obvious ones is that they feel ostracized, they feel marginalized, they feel inadequate, mm-hmm. and they feel different, and they want to be with the larger number of society. As you say, there will be those who will be forced by parents or guardians to be different. And again, it's just a reminder of how difficult it is to be gay in this part of the world in 2018. Absolutely. We're not talking about 1960 here. We're talking about 2018.
Exactly. Yeah. But the thing is, I don't have children, but I would like to say I have a niece and nephew who I adore. And if they came out at some point and said they were gay, all I want is for them to be happy. I don't understand how a parent can't come from that same point. You know, you want your children to be happy.
That is the important thing. That is such an important line. We want our children to be happy.